gospel that she was preaching, but also just might have enjoyed the sound of her voice, like a woman's voice speaking into the radio. I'm assuming, I'm just making up a story now, like, you know, at night, there she is. And maybe I am remembering Nathaniel West's version of the character, that it's a very warm radio presence in the 1920s.
Yeah, that's we can definitely say that.
Tona Hangin, you are professor of history at Worcester, and your book, Redeeming the Dial, Radio, Religion, and Popular Culture in America, features many preachers whose work was on the radio, as well as Amy Semple McPherson. Thank you so much for joining us on the radio edition of Radio Survivor, and we look forward to talking with you more in our podcast version, which is coming right up.
Thanks so much.
This is kissing man like a long walk home when the music stops.
This is Donette Thayer of Game Theory, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
Honey, did you know the Rolf Jansen Community Library serves Ankrum, Copaic, and Hillsdale?
As a matter of fact, I did know that. Ask me another.
Did you know that the Rojan Library has thousands of books, audiobooks, DVDs, and music CDs you can enjoy for free?
Yep, I knew that too.
Did you know that the Rojan Library puts on dozens of special programs like concerts and lectures, story time for kids, and seminars on computer skills and estate planning?
Uh-huh.
Well, Smarty Pants, is there anything about the Rojan Library you don't know?
Yeah, how do they get all that great stuff done with just 3 employees?
It's all about the volunteers. The library depends on volunteers for everything from working the circulation desk to staffing special events. They can always use more help.
Sounds like fun. How can I become a volunteer?
Just go to the library's website at rojanlibrary.org and click on the volunteer tab.
Hey, I knew that.
Sure you did.
Wave Farms Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Accra, featuring 13 installations. The study center, including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Accra broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wave Farms' International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wave Farms Art Park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wavefarm.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jane Scarpolino of New Haven, Connecticut. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM, listener aided and abetted radio.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that the Albany legislature has failed to pass any significant legislation this year to address the large affordable housing crisis in the state. State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins and Assembly Speaker Carl E. Heste released a joint statement on June 8th to blame Governor Kathy Hochul for their failure to pass any legislation. Stewart-Cousins and Heste said, and I quote, "Unfortunately, it was clear that we could not come to an agreement with the governor on this plan. All three chambers must immediately redouble our efforts and come up with a plan that the governor will sign into law," end quote. But the legislative session ends this week, so there will not be any help to renters and buyers across New York anytime soon. Hochul spokesperson Julie Wood blamed the legislation. Hochul originally proposed building 800,000 housing units across the state over the next 10 years. Other bills have proposed converting commercial buildings into housing and to give tenants more rights. None of it passed. Open New York, a group that supports both good cause legislation and housing development, denounced both the governor and the legislature, with Anne Marie Gray, the group's executive director, saying in a statement, and I quote, "While Albany is spending the day finger-pointing their way through failure, it is beyond clear that there is more than enough blame to be spread around," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Kate Lisa reports at New York State of Politics that as the legislature in Albany comes to a close, lawmakers are expected to approve a last-minute bill to move most town and county elections to even-numbered years. Bill sponsor, Senator James Scofus, says the idea is to get more people voting. He said, and I quote, "As it stands right now, in a lot of these local town and county elections, you have 20 or so percent of voters deciding the outcome of the entire jurisdiction. Why are you so afraid of 50, 60, 70% of voters determining who should hold these local positions?" End quote. But the bill is only a half measure. as it would not apply to city or village elections, nor for county clerk, sheriff, district attorneys, and elections for local judges protected in the state constitution to be held in odd-numbered years. Michael Zerlo, president of the State Association of Counties and the Clinton County Administrator, said, and I quote, "In local elections forced to be with state and national elections, it's going to suck up the media time. It's going to take the air out of the room. How is it that a town board member or a county legislator or supervisor is going to have the opportunity in the platform to discuss real issues? Issues that affect the day-to-day concerns of their communities. Are they going to be able to afford a 6 p.m. news slot? Probably not," end quote. Governor Kathy Hochul seemed to be leaning in favor of the bill, saying on June 7th that, and I quote, "If you're talking about turnout, I would say having a year when there's more people turning out for a presidential or gubernatorial race, it's an increase in turnout, and more people voting in these elections is always better for democracy. But I've not had a chance to look at the details," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Andre Emeko from Porcupine Soup reports that the state and national registers of historic places nominated two local properties this week, Fairview Manor in Columbia County and the Alpine in Greene County, were nominated. Getting nominated makes properties eligible for various public preservation programs and incentives, such as matching state grants and federal and state historic rehabilitation tax credits. Fairview Manor in Claverick is also known as the Alonzo and Mary E. Flack House. The house was damaged by fire in 1998. The Alpine, meanwhile, is a summer lodging house in Haines Falls. It could host up to 35 guests and was open through 1963. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
A pall of hate darkens Pride Month. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The modern struggle for equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual people has been waged for over a century. Despite significant gains, the work is sadly far from over as Pride Month begins. Just as massive plumes of sun-dimming smoke from wildfires now raging north of the border billow over the eastern half of the United States, darkening the sky and driving people indoors, so too has an epidemic of discrimination and hate targeting traditionally marginalized LGBTQ+ communities swept the land, unleashed by demagogues, cynical politicians, and bigots. State and local governments from coast to coast are passing repressive bills, banning books, and criminalizing people. The rash of laws, often accompanied by intimidation and acts of violence, has prompted the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest LGBTQ+ civil rights group, to announce, quote, "We have officially declared a state of emergency for LGBTQ+ people in the United States for the first time following an unprecedented and dangerous spike in anti-LGBTQ+ legislative assaults sweeping state houses this year. More than 75 anti-LGBTQ+ bills have been signed into law this year alone, more than doubling last year's number, which was previously the worst year on record," they wrote. Kelly Robinson, president of Human Rights Campaign, explained on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
In this moment, when people are traveling across the country, when they're deciding to move or what schools to go to, we had a responsibility to let people know that, one, there's an imminent health and safety crisis facing our community. And two, there's a dizzying patchwork of protections for us and for our families, depending on the state that you're in.
The Human Rights Campaign, or HRC, tracks these anti-LGBTQ plus bills. Over 520 of them have been introduced so far this year. 75 have already been signed into law with broad impacts, criminalizing the provision of gender-affirming health care for youth, prohibiting the teaching of LGBTQ-related topics, barring transgender people from using a gender-appropriate bathroom, banning books, and more.
The loud and vocal minority that is sowing hate and fear against our community because they're not willing to solve the real problems.
Kelly Robinson added,
if they actually cared about the safety of our kids, they would be moving forward legislation to prevent gun violence, the number one killer of our children.
The legislative assault is occurring in parallel with the 2024 Republican presidential primary season. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has championed several oppressive laws targeting the LGBTQ plus community, including the school curriculum ban known as the Don't Say Gay Law and banning gender-affirming care for minors. Others in the increasingly crowded Republican field are following suit. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley suggested opposing trans rights is a feminist issue.
The idea that we have biological boys playing in girls' sports, it is the women's issue of our time.
Presidential hopeful Nikki Haley said at a recent CNN town hall,
how are we supposed to get our girls used to the fact that biological boys are in their locker rooms?
Human Rights Campaign President Kelly Robinson responded on Democracy Now.
This is political theater. They are doing this to pander to a MAGA Republican base in so many of these states. Look, the majority of the people support the LGBTQ plus community. 70% of Americans support the LGBTQ plus community and believe that that legislators should be standing with our values. 1 in 5 of Generation Z identifies as a member of this community. 20 million American adults. This is not an issue of the margins.
The evangelical Christian movement has long been at the forefront attacking the LGBTQ plus community. Major televangelists like Pat Robertson, who died this week at the age of 93, and groups like Focus on the Family and the Alliance to Defend Freedom have stoked intolerance and repression not only here at home but around the world. Uganda is now on the front lines of this U.S.-based push to criminalize homosexuality. In May, the Ugandan president, Yoweri Museveni, signed an anti-LGBTQ law that makes same-sex relationships punishable by life in prison or, in some cases, death. Many LGBTQ Ugandans have gone into hiding or have fled the country.
The homophobia and transphobia we are seeing towards queer and trans persons in Uganda is from the West. It is mostly peddled by extreme American evangelicals.
That's Ugandan LGBTQ activist Frank Mugisha on Democracy Now! He fears similar laws will follow in neighboring countries like Tanzania and Kenya. Human Rights Campaign's state of emergency declaration is unprecedented, but is not simply a warning. Their statement ends with a call to action, one which everyone, whether LGBTQ plus or not, should heed this Pride Month and beyond. They say, our community is in danger, but we won't stop fighting back. Not now, not ever. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, a slight chance of showers after 10 a.m. It will be mostly sunny with a high near 74 degrees and a northwest wind at 5 to 8 miles an hour. On Saturday night, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 52 degrees and a west wind at around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. And on Sunday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 81 degrees. And Sunday night, a slight chance of showers mainly after 11 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Green and Columbia Counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Adelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a 3-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many 3-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXE will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a 3-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
WGXE believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXE is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC, hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Oh, the curtain lights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part, we know every card by heart. Oh, the curtain lights, this is it. The heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Ba
Wave Farm's Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wave Farm's 29-acre campus in Accra, featuring 13 installations. The study center, including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Accra broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wave Farm's International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wave Farm's Art Park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wavefarm.org.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
In 1879, a small group of believers and practitioners of the new spiritualist movement journeyed to a destination a few miles south of Niagara Falls and founded the community of Lilyville, a meeting place for mediums and metaphysical thought. Today, Lilyville is the oldest spiritualist community in America, and perhaps the world.
Many have come here lately, searching. They want to know where everyone went.
It was purposely settled as close to the Falls of Niagara as possible, believing the waterfall and the surrounding area held more than just natural power.
Jim. Some call him Big Jim because he's big. Or Big Psychic Jim because he is a big psychic. But his big clairvoyance has been blocked by grief, so he's come here seeking answers as to the whereabouts of his son, Little Psychic Jim. His boy went missing with hundreds of other aspiring psychics while on a psych hike in the Niagara Mountains. They sent in a dog to find them, but the dog went missing too. There have been several others visiting Lilyville, looking to locate loved ones who went missing on that same retreat. Some believe they were abducted by aliens. Some think they were swallowed by a landfill sinkhole in them hills made of trash. But most fear that the group of psychic water farmers who organized the retreat, a group known as the Sunflower Cult, has something to do with the mass disappearance. That's certainly what Annie believes. A nice couple that her and her husband used to hang out with, Soft Swap, also vanished. Maybe they are gone forever. Maybe they will come back someday, all weird and tripped out.
The founders and current inhabitants of Lilyville see the falls as a place of mystical significance, both haunted and protected by the most ancient of spirits.
Many are here in Lilyville, grieving, desperate, looking for answers. Here's one now, passing through the gates, street parking, grabbing her purse full of $10,000 that she's willing to exchange for contact, for peace of mind. How does it all work? This Lilyville industry.
Lilyville is not only known for their psychics, but they are also home of the world-famous Lilyville soft pretzels.
She asks where, she asks why again, and again she needs answers. Her hand clenches other hand. She wants to hear him one more time, find closure. She bursts into a weep. Her foot taps, mechanically. The churning leg milks her grief into the unseen pseudo-alchemical chambers working below.
Yes. This is the same Lilyville as the popular Lilyville soft pretzel chain, found in many rest stops along the East Coast.
Every drop of that grief is collected through a network of tubes, glass, and copper channels, terminating in bubbling beakers and fat-bellied iron vessels. The sobs, the moment of release, moaning, wailing, and all that waft from those in mourning, is pulled under the floorboards by hot vacuum filling tanks of longing and sorrow jars, some of the last known glass jars on the East Coast. It's oozing through clear glass, smoking back up in a miasma that helps the seer see, helps the mediums make out the shapes in the invisible, yielding air. Lilyville processed pain, is the Philosopher's Stone of the mystics of this quaint little village.
In 1989, Marion Winfield of Lilyville started selling her unique soft pretzels on a roadside along a busy section of Route 33, and her salty, buttery, garlic-stuffed doughy knots were a hit.
Shelley is 83 years old. She's lived in Lilyville for the past 100 years, and she's still riding her bike through the streets every morning, dumping hot ash under the tombstones, washing the sacred stump. The look in her eye is alive, smelling of cardamom. Too viral. Ravishing is Shelley, with skin so youthful, blessed by the tears of joy and agony sucked out silently and mixed with the elixirs that moisturizes her skin, softens her dough. She parties. God, the parties here in Lilyville. All night, hard and frisky.
I should have settled with the Mormon lady.
Mr. Small, a medium, never catches cold. Has a mood like a rainbow, and has helped people connect to those on the other side. Well, he himself will live the long life on this side, thanks to the captured grief sweat boiled in flasks, prepped to be exchanged for the power to hear the dead crystal clear. The hazy sizzle of a ghost touch, quick as a flash, might have said, I wait for thee, my lovely sister, or was it, I'm watering my lovely toaster.
Her first Lilyville soft pretzel stand opened at the Angola Travel Plaza in 1991, and since then, 11 more stands have opened statewide and now include other flavors like salted caramel, jalapeno cheddar, and pizza.
A transformation takes place. An excess of pathos in one end, and magic out the other. Out the window, one can see the pet cemetery, where the locals bury their loyal animal companions and children under five. Into the blonde helmets go the gravity. Mothers mourning their dead kids, kids missing their dead folks. Lonely husbands and wives waiting for the message with open wounds, crying out to suture themselves with the stitches of a sign, a door, an assurance that the dead are at peace and joinable. It has a smell, a weight, and even a taste. Such things as a deep cup of regret and hot, fresh anguish, hotter than a pretzel straight out of the oven.
Back in July, there was nothing. Like, there was, and then actually days later, the stuffed animal appeared because last Christmas.
At an average reading, no less than a giant spirit can be contacted, given the right dose of trap fumes rising up from the reservoir of countless tears, waxing the faces of the bereaved with a lavender Vaseline, as if waiting for the pressing of a jelly death mask mold to be sold at a later point at the local ghost shop. Lilyville, neither sinister nor beneficent, neither scam nor bargain. A duty-free shop on the borders of life and death and science and spirit is all. Come, bring your deepest feelings. They shall be cooked, smoked, and snorted through old seance cones for stronger cuticles and clairvoyance skills. Here's another customer. Did you feel it? Did you see it? Want, saw, what, see, speak, you, wait, can't, what, tick you. A rip-off? No, not quite. The moisture is the message.
Another little-known fact, microwaves are not allowed in the town of Lilyville.
And ultimately, the seekers are told what they want to hear. The psychic hikers will return. Drip, drip. They miss you and love you. Drop, drop. You will wake up someday soon and they will be there as if nothing happened. Plop. And there is some truth to it. The seers know. They will return. But in what form, they cannot tell.
Because I don't look on the internet to find, you know, that you can just go right to the internet, you can look, you know what beanie babies are? No, I mean, as an intuitive, you can't really see my room, right?
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
This is Kalen reporting for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine with another episode of Is Radio Dying? Today I am talking with Mike Putnam, station manager of WMNB in North Adams, Massachusetts. Hello, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So can you tell me a little bit about your station and a little bit about what you do there?
All right. We're WMNB LPFM, and the call letters were actually on our local regular radio station that I grew up listening to, and later on in life I wound up working for. But unfortunately for us here in Western Massachusetts, we're going through the same thing that a lot of stations in the Albany market, because we're in the Albany television and radio market, even though we're in Massachusetts. But most of the stations here have been gobbled up by a big giant called our stations here wound up being bought out by the company, and they just recently is actually running stations from the Great Barrington and Lee area, north here in North Berkshire, also over in the Albany market.
So does your station reach the Albany market? I'm a little bit confused.
Well, our radio and television is in the Albany market, according to the FCC.
Oh.
Like, we have a lot of Yankee fans, and we don't get the Yankee station that broadcasts their game, so we rely on the networks to do it for us. Because we're considered in the Red Sox market for sports. We're in the Boston market, but for music, we're in the Albany market. And it's really confusing for a lot of out-of-town people, and also for the locals, too, because they just don't understand what the difference is.
Right. Yeah, that is confusing. You were saying you're also in a television market. So do you also have a TV station?
We have a public access television setup in addition to the radio, and I'm the president of the board of directors of the company that owns the television stations. We have they're called PEG access stations, the public educational, and also they have a third kind of the governmental.
Yeah,
like we do a lot of government stuff, and we're stuck in an area where the FCC tells us we're in the Albany market for television, but for radio, we're in a different market, and it is hard for us to get information from our state government because they don't broadcast out this way.
Right.
So we go out of our way. We have a government access channel, and what we do is we go online, and luckily the state has their meetings all online so that we're able to bring that information to our constituents here in the Western Massachusetts, because all we get is what happens in Albany, not what happens in Boston.
Right, or other cities nearby, yeah.
Right.
Right. What does your programming for radio and the TV station consist of?
In radio, we are open to a lot of different formats. Like I have people that do jazz, some people that do rock and roll, another person does oldies. I found out there's a lot of low power stations, and we all kind of, there's a bunch of us that get together and we share programming with each other.
Oh.
And we also do government stuff on the radio in addition to on the TV, like city council meetings and state legislation meetings.
So is most of that, like most of the radio programming, say, is produced in-house by either volunteers or paid people?
Right, right. No paid people. It's all volunteer, us.
So most of your programming consists of stuff produced in-house then?
Right, right. People do. They record their programs on their own, in their own house, and then they email me them. Even the local ones, very few people come in to do a local show, but they'll do it from their house, and then they submit the recording from me, the MP3, to me.
Oh, I see. How did the pandemic affect your radio, you as a radio station?
It really didn't affect us that much because, like I said, people were doing stuff out of their homes instead of coming in and doing them live or pre-recording them here at the station. So it really didn't bother us at all. It did for, like, the local college has a radio station, and they lost a lot of people.
I know some of them did. I know it was hard.
And we have, for a little small community, we have two low-power stations. There's a Christian broadcasting station here, too.
Any affiliate with them, or you do anything with them?
No, but I do a lot of religious programming. And that's, you know, that's stuff that we don't have to pay for. They give it to us. And in fact, one organization, they every so often they'll give us some books. Like I recently got a book on the first book that the current Pope Francis wrote.
Whoa, that's cool.
You know, and I get to pass those out to our listeners.
What do you think the future of your radio station, or even as of radio as a medium?
Radio as a media, I think, is aside. They're dying off. They're all being gobbled up by big corporates, and they seem to be playing all the same music and everything else. Like here, I mentioned earlier, they took the local radio stations right out of here. They say they're broadcasting here, but they're actually coming from Pittsfield.
Yeah, I know. It's sad, and I feel like I just turn on the radio and it's the same music over and over again on repeat.
Yeah.
So
and they're even told what to play. I mean, the local AM station used to have the call letters WMNB when I worked there, because I worked there for a year. And now they changed the call letters, and just in the last month or so, they move the station right out.
Wow.
They say they're broadcasting from North Adams, but they're not. They're in Pittsfield. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So we've lost that localism. And so for low-power stations like ours outfit, it's a good idea, because we now can go out and go after people to listen to us. And hopefully down the road we can get an increase to 250 watts, which would be wonderful for us.
I think it would, yeah.
Yeah.
I think low power is very important because the major stations are kind of being commercialized. So if we can keep community radio alive, I think that would be for the best.
And you can't, I mean, at least somebody can write me a letter or a note or call up and say, gee, do you have this song? Can you play it for us, you know?
Yeah.
And we do that. The commercial stations now, like the one that we had here, they changed the country, and they're told by their corporation, they send them the list every day of what the music is they got to play. So the people have no interaction with the local station.
Cool.
What they call local station, because it's not a local station.
No.
You know? But that's one thing that we have, you know, the opportunity to do is people can... you know, they can call up and write us and ask us to play a song. I've got a great rapport with celebrities out there, with artists out there. I have one guy that lives in Nashville. Every time I download his music, he calls me on the phone and thanks me.
Cool, though.
So that's great, because it gives you a feeling that you're doing something good, you know?
Definitely. A minute left. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or anything I didn't ask you that should be said?
Main thing probably for your listeners is... to get involved with public access and low power, because that's the wave of the future. And the FCC knows that, and hopefully they'll be allowing us to increase our power where we can compete with the commercial stations. But, you know, if they got the time, I recommend that they get involved in the local radio, because it's a fun thing to do, and there's a lot of nice people in there that I have found in the last couple of years. And I've had people, just recently, a guy use his vacation time to come to North Adams to meet with me and go out to dinner and look at the radio station and everything. So that made me feel great that people out there are interested in who's playing their music and who's playing their radio show, too. They can get that information online. We have a Facebook page, WMNBLP-FM, or they can call us on the phone, 413-663-9006, or stop by our studio. We're on Route 2, Union Street, and it's called in North Adams. On your way, it's the way to go to Boston. As soon as you start to leave the town, there we are in an old mill building that we took over.
Oh,
we'd love to have you come and stop by.
This has been Kalen for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. I've been talking with Mike Putnam, station manager of WMNB. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for asking us. It's been a pleasure, and say hello to your listeners.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
That was Florist duet for Two Eyes, Florist's latest album. It came out last summer. I still think is definitely one of the best albums of 2022 and something I still listen to. And especially when I'm walking around the Catskills and the Hudson Valley, it always feels like this album captures the mood of the Catskills, at least for me. Last summer, before that album came out, Florist gathered in Palinville on a couch, and I got to Zoom with them. Had a pretty terrific interview that I played last summer, most of it, but there was one specific excerpt that I held back, and it was them talking pretty wonderfully about how they thought they would transform this album, this collection of songs and instrumentals, and, you know, almost like found sounds as well. How they transformed that into live sets. They were excited at the time. They were still working out and rehearsing how all of that would happen. I'm going to play an excerpt from the interview we did with them talking about how they were going to transform some of this music into live sets. You're going to hear four voices in this interview. Florist is, of course, Emily Sprague, Johnny Baker, Rick Spataro, and Felix Walworth.
Yeah, we just started practicing. We always approach playing live as trying to be just listen to each other. You know, it's like a lot of the stuff that we've recorded isn't supposed to be recreated exactly live because it's not, you know, the recording. And I think live music feels really good to play when it's about listening to someone and being there live. I mean, it's like the most visceral way of experiencing music, right? So it's like, I think we're just approaching it that way now, where we're stripping some things back, but like making sure there are dynamics present, because I think that's a big thing about the music, is how it has dynamics and like leaves space for quietness and then can also, you know, intensify. And yeah, I think we're learning a bit how to maybe do more with less now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I think mainly just like playing with each other, you know, just really that's the bottom line, is just to play well with each other and listen to each other.
And I think surprisingly often stuff like it's not like we're doing like totally stripped down renditions.
Yeah.
Somewhat surprisingly to me, at least, oftentimes the overall mood and the arrangement ends up pretty close. Recordings.
Yeah.
There might not be every layer, but yeah, we all kind of are like multitaskers in a lot of ways. And
yeah,
we make the best use of that we can.
Yeah. And it's like, hopefully you simultaneously like aren't missing the recording because it is full enough. And at the same time, it's different enough that it's a new and equally as like enjoyable experience,
yeah,
of hopefully. The song. Hopefully. Yeah, exactly. That's the goal.
That always seemed more sort of intuitively what feels good and what would be a better show than like,
yeah,
having a playing along to like a track or
oh,
something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Which I totally understand as a technique, but I think it's just not what we want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think in our live arrangements, like we play with like a bit more abandon than on the recordings too. This record, there was a lot of abandon.
Yeah.
Actually.
Definitely.
Even just on the recordings, but like, you know, there are a lot of parts that we, to this live set that we keep pretty open and unarranged. Like there are like improvised parts that can last anywhere from like 30 seconds to like 3 minutes,
yeah,
depending on how we're feeling about,
yeah,
like, you know, playing with each other at that moment.
Yeah, totally.
That keeps it like, I mean, I hope that also translates, you know, to people as like, you know, sort of like alive and like, you know, vital, but it at least for me, it's so important to have that, like, you know, when we're about to go play these songs, you know, so many times in a row, to like have this,
yeah,
feeling of possibility every night, like really keeps me like present.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Keep it tight, keep it loose.
Yeah,
that's
our motto.
That's what we say.
Yeah, that's a hilarious,
yeah,
motto.
Cut it and double it.
Cut it and double it.
That was WGXC's Justin Maiman on his Ginger Radio Hour show, speaking with the band Florist, who is based in Palinville or in the Catskills and is playing at the Storm King Art Center on June 10th.
Boggles, boggles, slime my poggy, slime my poggy, slime my
radio, one time.
Randa, randa,
slime my bingo, slime my bingo, slime my
duku, duku,
slime my data, slime my data, slime my
crepe, crepe,
double
style.
Slamat,
slamat, slamat, slamat. boggles, boggles, slime-a-poggy, slime-a-poggy, slime-a.
Radio.
Beat, Lea,
Slama, Chalan, Slama.